This is an oral history interview with Otha Williams. This is July 29th, 1980. This is side one of part one.
One, two, three, four.
Otha, could you tell us when and where you were born, the date and where you were born?
Yes, I was born in Memphis, Tennessee. January 15th, 1918.
So you are now what age?
62.
You are 62 years old. Mm-hmm. Could you describe your family, how many brothers and sisters you had, what your father did for a living, and your mother?
Yes, I can. I was 13 of us, eight girls, five boys. The oldest brother died in childbirth. So four of us lived.
Where were you? What number were you in this 13?
I was the last one.
You were the youngest of the 13?
Youngest.
And what did your father do for a living? And
he was an interior decorator, paper hanger and painter. Interior decorator, paper hanger and painter.
Mm-hmm. And your mother, she stayed home to take care of
you? No, she did domestic work too.
She did domestic work also? Mm-hmm.
She worked for a white family. They had nine kids themselves.
I see. Was this a rich white family or?
We just called middle class. Her salary was $9 a week.
I see. Would you describe your circumstances as middle or income, poor income, and your family? How did you see your family?
We wasn't poor, we wasn't rich. But that we had a five-room bungalow, cost was $8 a month. Mm-hmm. And the money for that I could make with the magnolia trees, the roses we had in our front yard. Mm-hmm. I'd go out in the white neighborhood and sell them in the evening. The magnolia has a beautiful old and light up the house in the evening time.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, there was no trouble. I don't even remember the Depression and during that time. I was 11 or 12 years old.
In other words, your father was able to hold on to a job, right? Or was able to get work and...
Yes, he did top-notch work.
I see.
Called 8 number one.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go to school? Did you go to school in Tennessee?
Yes, I went to grammar school at Portland Street. It was the grammar school. In fact, southern schools are better than upstate schools. If you've got a 7th grade IQ and you're in the 4th grade, they will promote you to the 7th grade. Mm-hmm. That's why I graduated at the age of 12 from grammar school, which is 8th grade.
Right.
I was 12 years old, salutatory of my class. And I would have graduated from high school at the age of 15 if I could have stayed in school. But I couldn't.
When did you leave school?
I left school, I think it was 30... First of 35, the school was 35.
You left school in 1935, and how old were you then?
17.
You were 17. Mm-hmm. And was that to go to work, or?
Yes.
You had to go to work?
Well, but yes, and then we were speaking, we had an amateur program every Wednesday in a theater in Memphis called the Palace Theater on Beale Street. And Butterbean and Susie had a show in that week. And then on Wednesday, amateur night, I won first prize. My mother hollered out in the theater, "That's my boy." So Miss Sue said, "Who is that?" Hollered out that kid. I said, "That's my mother." She said, "Call her backstage. I want to talk to her." And I did.
What did you do
that you
danced? So in other words, you stopped school to continue this dancing?
So I could make more money. At first I wanted to travel to, always had a dream of seeing my name in lights on Broadway. Always had a dream, and it happened.
It happened, eventually it happened. When you left school, first of all, before you left school, where did you learn to dance?
My mother taught me to. Still had names in those days. In 1922, when I was four, she taught me how to do the black bottom. That was the first step I ever learned. My mother taught it to me.
Right.
And she danced too.
I see.
She was fat, but even weighed 115.
Yeah.
She should take her to dances. She's the only one who waltz with. The average kid, they don't like waltzes. Come on. 20 feet apart, that's not dancing with me.
Right. Now, you, in other words, from the age of 4, you were taught how to dance.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time this amateur contest came, at the age of, you were about 17.
No, I made a mistake there. I was 11 when the amateur program came on.
You were 11 when the amateur?
1929.
You were 11 when the amateur program came on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is that when you left school?
No, he left school later.
Wait a minute. Let's go back. So in other words, you were 11 years old, and you won this amateur contest for dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after you won the amateur contest for dancing, did you get jobs dancing or what?
Butterbeans and Susie got permission from my mother to take me with them. And they had a tutor that was teaching their daughter. They had a daughter, she did contortionist. She was my age bracket.
Right.
She was 11 herself, named Margaret. So I had my schooling, because my mother found that out before I left. I said, will he still get his schooling? He said, yes. That's how I grew up in Chicago.
Oh, so in other words, at the age of 11, you left home.
I left home.
You left home at the age of 11.
Definitely.
And you went to Chicago. Now, in Chicago, you continued learning dancing, or with whom did you learn dancing in Chicago?
With the two sisters called the Bruce sisters, Celie and Mary Bruce. They had a dancing school in Chicago, just like Catherine Dunham here in New York.
Yeah.
Eventually, they came to New York too, two sisters. They had a dancing school, and another fella, I can't think of his name, but he was at had a school on Michigan near 35th Street, on the south side. Can't think of his name. It'll come to me. But he had a school too. And
so,
it's easy.
You were taken and by these sisters?
No, by this wife and husband and wife team, Butterbeans and Susie. They had a comedy act, but
yeah.
The show was theirs too.
Right, and they were going to Chicago, and they took
That's their home.
And they took you with them,
yes.
And they enrolled you in this school.
Not exactly. Sammy Dyer, that's the fellow's name, Sammy Dyer, they had the other dancing school. No, well, I lived with them. They're the home, 3322 Calumet in Chicago, yeah. South Side. And automatically you get involved with other dancers. And that club, like Club Delisa out on the south side, the biggest club in there. And eventually, yes, on my own, I went to these different schools.
I see.
I was making a decent salary.
At the age of 11 and 12?
Yeah.
While dancing?
Yeah.
Where were you dancing, in these clubs?
Yeah, we worked clubs, we worked theaters.
Uh-huh.
Clubs and theaters.
So from the age of 11, you were self-supported?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
so, in other words, formal education ended at the age of 11.
Oh yeah, the school part from going to school without anything else involved, any other involvement.
Yeah.
Yeah, that type of schooling.
Ended at the age of 11. But then you were got tutoring after the age of 11. You were tutored privately, right?
Yes, Mrs. Edwards, her husband, daughter, and myself had a private tutor for her, so I automatically learn along with her.
How far did you get? Did you get an equivalency?
We got to the 11th grade.
You got to the 11th grade?
11th grade, mm-hmm. 11th grade education.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
were you in Chicago until 1935?
I was in Chicago until 1939 when we went to the, I met a kid named, he was a dancer too. He and I, we did it. An amateur program in Chicago. The place prize was $50. The Regal Theater in Chicago is on the south side. And the MC, Master Ceremonies, at that program, that amateur program named John Baxter, he also was a booking agent, which I didn't know. And he held, after the show, he held your hand over this contestant head and the audience. Leon, the kid's name was Leon Collins. Between Leon and I, we got the same amount of applause. So he gave Leon the $50. He said, I'm going to my pocket and give Martin, give Williams $50 too. I want both you boys to come down to my office Monday morning. I'm going to put you together. That's what he did. This was in 39.
Right. Now, this was in 1939. Mm-hmm. Now, when did you start using drugs?
35.
Could you explain us how you started to use drugs in 1935? This was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And what drugs you were using?
And I ran into a group of fellas. They had the type of hustle. We'd go down to, they'd take me with them down to the Wrigley Building. Below that was a ramp where they go speedboat rides. Come off a wagon drive and go downstairs. Meantime, you could stand up on the bridge and look down. We had a dummy floor, had a dummy mic, and played records, and we danced, tin can set of drums. We'd make tips by the buckets full. They'd throw us tips down. And then they'd come out there. That's how I started messing with drugs, with five or six fellas. They was into it. And then
were they also dancers? Or
they were dancers too, yes.
Now, was this heroin or was this marijuana?
It was heroin. Heroin, because at that time you could even get heroin. You could get coke across the counter, drugstore counter. Yeah.
In Chicago.
In Chicago.
Now I want to ask you, before you started to use heroin, did you use marijuana?
Yes, I smoked
grass. When did you first begin to smoke grass?
I smoked grass at home. Shoot, it was 5 cent stick then. I used grass in Memphis.
When you were 11 years old?
No, before I was 11. I was smoking grass when I was around 8 or 9 years old, because I was stealing my mama's cigarettes, smoking cigarettes at the age of 8.
In other words, you started smoking cigarettes at the age of 8, and then you began to smoke grass. Now, was grass very common in Memphis? I mean,
It was common among the musicians and the theatrical people, and among to verify that, the fact is, three kids of us, which we bypassed this, you know, they made this picture called Hallelujah in Memphis. They made most of it in Memphis. Remember the picture called Hallelujah? Not a name of Kenny. They took 7 months of it in Memphis. The street I lived on was a long, dead-end street from Vance, a major street, all the way down to the end, which was a big, wide bayou at the end of it. We lived at the end of that driver street. And it's often home in that street, too, so they came there. King Beale, Metro Goldwyn Mayer made this picture. And then Robert Couch, Milton Dixon, myself, we were in the picture.
You were dancing in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you, how old were you at that time?
10, between 10 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
We started. I don't know what happened to Nana McKinney after that. We went to the West Coast too to do interior shots.
Was this a black picture or what?
It was, yeah, mainly a black picture.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I think you can run up on it yourself. You got the means to run it down.
Now, you started smoking marijuana. It was very cheap. Would you smoke it every day when you were?
We'd smoke a stick between the three of us, Milton. In fact, nicknamed Bones, Milton, and myself. We'd smoke a stick. We were the only kids could go in the Peabody Hotel in Memphis and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to make big tips,
mm-hmm.
big tips in Peabody.
Right.
And we had Matthew Behoot, you call him, named Alonzo Locke. That's where the Beale Street Boys, the first quartet, whoever it was, the Beale Street Boys come out of Peabody Hotel. He had bands like K Kaiser, the bands back in those days, Spike Jones. They had bands like that, Tommy Dawson's brother,
they played
that hotel. But the hotels, it's called one of the South Pines, one of America's best hotels.
So you were dancing there also?
Oh, yes, I was dancing.
And you were only a kid at that time?
That's right.
So, in other words, you were smoking marijuana on and off, let's say, from the age of 9. And in 1935, when you went to Chicago, you had your first initiation, we'll say, into heroin, H. And that was with a group of other dancers who were using at that time.
Right.
Now, when you started to use H, did you snort it or injected? How did you begin to use it?
Mainline the first time. I never did do no snow. It was mainline.
You mainlined the first time?
And it made me sick. Very ill. Very ill. Vomit. And I thought I'd be through with it. After that, I wasn't. I was in the catch of the world. You cannot drink and dance. You can't be a dancer and be a drinker. Your balance is thrown off.
Alcohol, you're talking about.
It don't mix, but you can chew stuff, smoke pot, use coke, and you can still dance like this.
I see. Now, did you use coke also at the same time?
I became involved with coke after I got a job on the Cicero with the Ralph Capone, Al's brother.
Capone?
Yeah.
He was a musician?
No, it's Ralph. That's Al Capone. Al Capone's brother.
Al Capone brother, was the Al Capone,
brother,
right.
His brother, Ralph Capone, had a club called the Town Club.
I see.
You know, they built up that town when all that weight was on Al. They built the town, Cicero, up.
Uh-huh.
It's 4800 west of Chicago. And they built that town up for themselves. It was
uh-huh.
the gangster faction. The mayor had been mayor for on and on and on with Big Bill Thompson. He used to wear a big Western hat.
Uh-huh.
And when he lost, they put him out of office, and Al couldn't find nowhere to squat at. So his brother opened the club up over in Cicero.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job over there.
You were dancing?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
Let me see, it's 38.
You were 20 years old?
18, yeah, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's a job you couldn't quit either.
Right.
If people like you.
Now, I want to ask you, in 35, let's go back to your heroin experience.
Yeah.
When you started to use the heroin and you got sick and you mainlined, why did you go back? When did you go back and why did you go back to it?
Well, I was just chipping, but I went back to it in 46 heavy.
Oh.
That's when I met a kid. His dad was an addicted from 30, up 30.
So from 35 to 46, you were not addicted?
Just chipping. That's, you know, what you mean. Every night it was a party thing. It wasn't necessary. I didn't actually need it.
Yeah. But you used every day?
Yeah.
No? How many times a week would you use?
Maybe twice. Sometimes maybe three when we get together.
Two or three times a week. And these were musicians or dancers?
Dancers, all both.
Both, dancers and musicians. In other words, you would chip the heroin.
It's chipping. What I mean by chipping is, yeah. Mm-hmm. That means that you don't get completely addicted to it. You stay away from it.
But when you were chipping, would you mainline it or skin pop it? Most people who are chipping are skin
pop. That mainline. I cannot skin pop because it raises the skin on you. It swells you up, you know.
So you continued, even though you weren't addicted, you were mainlining.
And the thing was, at that time it was cheaper and it was good.
It was good stuff.
Yes, indeed.
Now, in 1935, did you know from whom you were buying the stuff? Did you buy the stuff yourself, or did you just use it?
I eventually started buying it because the big fella on the south side, he eventually got busted by a black government agent.
Now, did you buy the stuff from black people or white people?
Black.
Oh, you bought the stuff from black people in Chicago.
Yeah.
Now, did you also buy a set of works, or did you use the works that other people had?
I bought works.
You bought your own works. Now, when you used heroin, did you share your works with other people, or did you just use the works by yourself?
I kept my personal works. No, I let nobody else use them.
Nobody else used your personal works?
No.
Now, did you learn how to keep the works clean?
Yes.
What did you do with the works?
Well, I'd take the detergent, wash them, rinse them.
With hot or cold water?
Hot and cold water, and then alcohol, and let them sit.
And they sit in alcohol. So in other words, you were very, very, you would describe yourself as cautious with
the work. Maybe that's why I'm living today.
Uh-huh. Now, did you ever get any abscesses or infections?
Never had an abscess.
Never had an abscess or an infection.
No.
Excuse me, there's one thing that's puzzling me.
What's that?
We've talked to a lot of people who at one point or another in their life in shipping, but they almost all skin pop. And it seems to me that there would at least be a serious danger in somebody who had not built up tolerance using good dope back in the 30s could very, very easily overdose. Did that ever happen
That's
to you?
Fact. Yes. I've almost died about three times. Yeah.
And those three times were back when you were chipping?
Yeah, it was back when I was strung out too. The last time was in 60, in Philadelphia, 61. Philadelphia, almost died then. Luckily, this girl that threw me in the tub and kept putting ice and salt shots in me, saved my name was Sarah. Yeah, she can OD. The only time I ever skin popped was by accident.
I say, when you missed
it. Accident.
Yeah. So, in other words, it would be fair to say, back in the 30s, you were not addicted, but you were mainlining. Took very good care of the works and kept them clean.
Right.
But there was the big danger, and in fact it did happen, that you overdosed a few times back in the 30s.
Because stuff was, you could take what it's costing these people $40 to $50 now, you get that amount of drugs for $10 then. And in Chicago, I never knew dope was the chemist could put it to a white color. It was always brown.
It was brown stuff.
Always brown. I never saw no white hair run until I came to New York. Never did.
Do you know where this heroin came from? Where it came from Turkey or from Mexico? Do you have an idea?
At that time, yeah, you had two of the main spots it was coming from.
Turkey?
Turkey and Mexico.
Right.
That's where the plant was growing the poppy.
Uh-huh.
Back in the 30s, it was coming from Mexico.
Yes, particularly.
Now, how much would your habit cost you a week in the 30s? Let's say you were chipping.
Yeah, my habit a week would cost me maybe
$20. $20 for the whole week?
$20.
And I want to ask you, as a dancer, how much were you earning in the 30s? How much could you earn?
Well, in those days, $175 a week salary was the equivalent of a $750 salary today.
Of a $750 salary today.
Today, $175 a week salary then was equivalent of a $750 right. salary today.
Did you get, and in addition to your salary, did you get tips?
Oh yes, indeed.
So how much would you get with the tips?
I'm after the pool to get through sweeping them up and putting them in the bucket, I imagine the tips would come to something like $200 to $300, especially on weekends. The tips would come to maybe $1,100 to $1,200 a week.
In addition to your $170?
In addition to the salary.
So you were making $1,100 a week, or?
Good money.
You were really making money.
Oh yes, my mother was proud of me.
you were sending some of this money home?
Yes, I bought her a home. She died in 53. I was paying for cancer operation, didn't know that she had cancer, I didn't know. Lucky.
Uh-huh. So in other words, your heroin habit was really a very minimal expense during the
test. Yes,
it wasn't even a habit.
It wasn't even a habit. It was just
something to do with to stay in with the in crowd.
Right.
Either you did or you was out.
Were most of the members of the in crowd addicted? Or were they just chipping too?
No, they were addicted. Mostly addicted.
And these were mostly musicians and dancers. Were there any other kinds of people that were?
If I could keep this off the record.
Right.
Don't
mention names. Just describe the people.
Like two blocks up from where I live, with the butter beans, the sweet at a home, 3322 Calumet. The two blocks from the Grand Terrace, which is at 35th Street and Calumet. That's Earl Hines' band. His wife.